Chapter 11, text 53 of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So if we share out the books, then everyone can sit some, those who are not holding a book can sit next to one who has. And this way all can see and read the verse. No, I'll take this, I'll take whatever verse is there. It's all nectar. Adav ante cha madhye cha hari sarvatra giyate. Middle, beginning, middle and end, it's all glorifying Hari. So, what is the difficulty? Everyone. So, na.
Naham vedair na tapasa.
Na dane na na chejaya. Shakya evang vidho drashtum. Drishtavana simang yatha. Nahang vedair na tapasa. Nadane na na chejaya. Shakya evang vidho drashtum. Drishtavana simang yatha. The form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. Purport. Krishna first appeared before his parents Devaki and Vasudeva in a four-handed form, and then he transformed himself into the two-handed form. This mystery is very difficult to understand for those who are atheists or who are devoid of devotional service. For scholars who have simply studied Vedic literature by way of grammatical knowledge or mere academic qualifications, Krishna is not possible to understand. Nor is he to be understood by persons who officially go to the temple to offer worship. They make their visit, but they cannot understand Krishna as he is. Krishna can be understood only through the path of devotional service, as explained by Krishna himself in the next verse. Nahang vedair na tapasa na dane na na chejaya shakya evang vidho drashtum drishtavana simang yatha. The form you are seeing, this is Lord Krishna speaking to Arjuna, the form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Parakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivashakan Vitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Lord Krishna is explaining in this verse how he cannot be seen, or rather the means that are incapable to render a person capable of seeing Krishna. And in the next verse he'll describe the positive the flip side of this, how he can be seen. Bhaktya tunanyaya shakya aham evang vidhurjuna nyatung drashtang cha tatvena praveshtang cha parantapa. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. It is a commonly asked question that, can you see God? Can you show me God? Have you seen God? Prove that there is God. He should come before me. Whoever says like this, we can immediately understand that they have no desire whatsoever to see God. And that even if they were to see God, they wouldn't see Him due to their lack of desire to see Him. Even if we show, yes, come here, see the deity, they won't see the deity, they'll see. They won't see Krishna, they'll see stone. Or even if Krishna directly comes before, I mean, deity is Krishna, but we have the example just like Duryodhana. Krishna was standing before Duryodhana, but Duryodhana could not accept this is God. He would not accept this is the supreme controller. Rather, he blasphemed Krishna, so he couldn't see God. For one who has eyes to see can see God everywhere at all the time. Premandina churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shamasundaram achintya guna swarupam govinda madhi purushantam aham bhajami. And for one who has no desire to see God, then due to his lack of desire, even if he sees, he will deny that he is seen. And in this way, for all intents and purposes, he will not see. He denies the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it's here we've seen that all these methods which are described here, which appear to be very good, studying the Vedas, undergoing serious penances, giving charity or official temple worship, although these all appear to be pious activities, if they're not undertaken for the specific purpose of satisfying Krishna, then they are simply manifestations of envy of Krishna. Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita that Vedaischa sarver aham eva vedyaha. In all the Vedas, Veda means knowledge, so the object of knowledge is Krishna. There is no other subject in the Vedas but Krishna. Vede Ramayana Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adav Ante Cha Madhye Cha Hari Sarvatra Giyate. In all the Vedas, Ramayana, Puranas, Mahabharat, beginning, middle and end, the only object is glorification of Krishna. But persons who are envious of Krishna, they will study all the Vedas and come to the conclusion that there is no Krishna, or they won't find Krishna, or they remain envious of Krishna. So simply study, the Vedas are only meant for understanding Krishna. But for one who has the attitude of denial of Krishna, we've heard this is a common saying, that someone is in denial. Everyone in this material world is in denial. They're in denial of their actual identity, which is that of being a servant of Krishna. So such persons, they are described matiya na krishne. They're Krishna mati, or their inclination toward Krishna. Matiya na krishne parata svatova, neither by the efforts of others nor by their own effort. Mito pibhadyeta grihavratanam, that will not be awakened because they have taken a very strong vow that under no circumstances shall I ever agree to be in the slightest bit interested in Krishna consciousness. Their vow is Adanta Gopya, my senses should remain uncontrolled, Vishatang to Misram, and I shall enter into hell. I shall prefer to go to hell than surrender to Krishna. They find that it is more pleasant to have hellish existence than rather surrender to Krishna. And punaf punas charvita charvananam. That which is already chewed, that which is already rejected, it's clearly not in the slightest bit relishable. But due to their strong sense of independence, I shall not surrender to Krishna. They insist on forgetting Krishna, and in this way, they can never see Krishna. Even they have big conferences, interfaith conferences. These interfaith conferences are religious get-togethers on how to forget Krishna. There are different ways to forget Krishna. Scientifically, philosophically, communistically, and religiously also. So these interfaith conferences are a religious come philosophical manner, method of very craftily avoiding surrender to Krishna, because your opinion, my opinion, this opinion, that opinion. But no one is serious to understand what is the absolute truth. By their very attitude that we shall put our different ideas together and we shall match them together, and if you like a little bit smorgasbord, you know, this buffet system. There's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Well, I like this and that seems good to me, yes, and we'll take a little bit of that and mix it all up, and this is my lunch for today. But this is the very method defies the actual method of approaching Krishna, which is tadvidhi pranipatena. First of all, one should understand that I don't know anything, and approach those who are tattvadarshi, those who do know. And this idea that we shall all put our ideas together and make an eclectic smorgasbord, and we shall go on. We are searching for God, and searching, and they're very proud. We're searching. Well, Prabhupada, when he was confronted this, he was searching, searching. Why don't you find? How long are you going to go on searching? This is God, Krishna. You take it. If you're actually searching for God, then I know God, Prabhupada would say. You take. But no, I am searching. Just, they like to have the reputation of, we are seekers, but never finding. And in this way, avoiding Krishna. So such persons cannot understand Krishna. And we cannot understand Krishna by placing Bhagavad Gita at our feet, even if it's on top of a dhoti, because we should keep Bhagavad Gita on our head, actually. So, please don't put Bhagavad Gita at your feet. These are all things to be understood if we're going to advance in devotional service. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna. And devotees here are passing out knowledge of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna to so many people. This is the method to please Krishna. How Krishna can be understood? By the attitude of trying to please Him. By the attitude of trying to know Krishna, as if Krishna is a subject for academic study. We can never understand Krishna. Now, if we want to know about any topic, then what should we do? We should go to the library. We should go to the university, isn't it? We should do research work. There's an academic method for acquiring knowledge. And although the methodology is different in different subjects, the basic approach is the same. That we should try to acquire knowledge from various sources, either by personal sense perception or by gathering information from persons who have gathered information previously. And in this way, we can acquire knowledge about any subjects, whether it's physics, chemistry, biology, mathematics, history, geography, whatever the subject is. Then we go to the educational institution and we are instructed in this way. And in this way, we acquire knowledge, academic knowledge. So we may think that, well, if we want to understand about Krishna, then we should go to the university and we will get a degree in Indology, maybe specializing in Vaishnav studies or even Gaudiya Vaishnav studies. And in this way, we can learn about Krishna. And actually, it's a fact that if one goes to the university, one can, if one has sufficient brain power and academic application and money also to pay for the course, that's also essential. You can take a loan also, maybe. So one can amass knowledge about Krishna and Krishna consciousness and the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition and philosophy. However, one will not advance even a millimeter in understanding Krishna, and in fact will go backwards. Because the idea that I know about Krishna, I have studied in the university, and now I know so many things. You'll find professors, they can describe the philosophy or aspects of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness better than our devotees, it would seem. But no one can ever become a devotee by going to them because they are not devotees. They don't have an attitude of submission or service to Krishna, but they think that Krishna is some subject to be studied. Just like you go in the biology lab, they have inside bottles, they have preserved in, what do they preserve it in? Who's the, huh? Formaldehyde, that's right. Whew, I didn't think of that for 35 years. In formaldehyde, they have all different dead animals, and they look at them and they study them. And so they think we have put Krishna in a bottle, in formaldehyde bottle, and we can explain. This is Krishna consciousness. But by this method, it is not possible to understand Krishna. And by this attitude, it is absolutely the opposite attitude by which Krishna can be understood. Because the methodology to understand Krishna is completely different from any mundane acquisition of knowledge. The very idea, acquisition of knowledge, you get more and more knowledge and you know more and more and then you become an expert. This is not the way to understand Krishna. Krishna is transcendental to the modes of material nature, and one has to come to that platform to be blessed with the understanding by which one can understand Krishna. Actually, even to understand anything, one cannot properly understand anything, even if one amasses knowledge about it and is apparently an expert in it, one cannot understand anything in this material world properly unless he has knowledge of Krishna. Just like there are so many great scientists in history, among whom the name of Einstein is outstanding, at least to the common uneducated folk like myself. If we think of a scientist, we think Einstein. So Einstein was apparently a highly realized person, and on one level it appears that he was so. However, any devotee of Krishna who submissively hears Bhagavad Gita class in the temple can immediately become more in knowledge of matter by attending the class and hearing from Bhagavad Gita and accepting Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetuna Anena Kauntaya Jagadvi Parivartate. By hearing how the whole material manifestation with its moving and non-moving entities is produced by Krishna and is under Krishna's control. Now, if we can understand this, then one becomes more realized than Einstein, who had a tremendous amount of knowledge, but he could never, or any scientist, they cannot put it into a category. They're always searching and searching. Where does it all fit together? How does it all fit together? So although they may have detailed knowledge of various factors of the working of the cosmos, they can never understand the big picture because of their very attitude that we shall understand by our own endeavors. It's like an it's like an ant. Sometimes you feel an ant crawling on your arm. And the ant, he has, by his sense perception, he has some understanding that I am crawling on some surface. But he's by his limited senses and intelligence, it is impossible for him to understand that I'm on the body of a human being. And what is a human being? And the fact that the human being, if he's not a devotee, will probably crush him to death any second. So he has knowledge, he considers conscious or awareness, the main subject for biological or biological understanding, the questionable, what's the point? They should rather try to understand what is the consciousness of the great devotees, Krishna consciousness. So anyway, the end, according to his understanding, is vast. He's a highly qualified ant. But his understanding cannot go beyond the tiny area that he's on, and that he's on the body of a human being, and what are the hopes and aspirations and pleasures and miseries of the human being on whose body he's crawling around. He's totally beyond his ability to become a processor. His ability to see or to perceive in the same matter that everyone sees, his ability to perceive the workings of matter in a manner that ordinary human beings or less capable human beings cannot do. So he was considered exceptional. But still, from the point of view of Krishna, his ability to see was extremely limited. So the method to gain knowledge even of the cosmos, the better method, is to hear from Krishna, who has the understanding, the actual understanding, which it is not possible by any mundane means to acquire, because the mundane means is ipso facto incapable of understanding the big picture, which is ultimately spiritual. Everything comes from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha. Everything is generated from Krishna. So it is not by the mundane method, the mundane mind, intelligence, senses, and investigatory method cannot possibly reach to Krishna, because Krishna is beyond the limits of understanding of the mundane senses. So there's the abilities of even religious scholars to actually understand God is completely bounded by their misguided attempt to understand. Their attempt to understand God is from the beginning doomed, because they do not accept the proper method to understand Him. They think this is also an academic, something to be understood academically. But Krishna, although He is to be understood through the Vedas, He is to be understood through the Vedic method. This is the great mistake of the mundane scholars, that they take the Vedas, the mundane scholars of Indology or whatever you want, they take the Vedas and they try to study the Vedic knowledge through the methodology that they consider to be correct, instead of following the methodology which is given in the Vedic tradition itself. So how can one possibly understand the Vedas by... It's like trying to run Windows programs on a Mac or something like that. It's just It doesn't work. Of course, you can get programs that convert. But anyway, it's just an example that it doesn't work. It's like trying to explain in Chinese something which to people who don't understand Chinese. It's they don't have the requisite methodology. It's actually an absurd proposition that by the academic empiric method we shall try to understand transcendental knowledge, which is by definition not to be understood by any transcendental empiric method. It's not available. This knowledge is not available to the empiric method. It is beyond empiricism. There is a method that doesn't. For those who are empiricists, they consider that there is no knowledge beyond this. But that in itself, from the very beginning, is totally irrational. That we are rationalists, and we only accept that which we can perceive and rationally, with our brain power, process. This proposition of the so-called rationalists, from the very beginning, proves them to be totally irrational and foolish. Because why should they presume? Why should they presume that everything that is to be known can be understood by this method? Rather, it would be expected that there is so much knowledge which cannot be understood by our teeny brains and our teeny, highly limited intelligence and highly limited powers of perception. So the so-called rationalism is, from in its very, what's the word? It's very methodology, what would you say the word? Raison d'etre, or from its very beginning, is totally irrational. And whatever else they build on top of it is just more advancement in foolishness, although they consider themselves very intelligent. But it's total foolishness, this idea that we should understand everything by our senses and our mind. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna because he wasn't such a fool. He didn't bring out a tape measure to try to measure Krishna. What is the measurement of his biceps? Try to have an empiric understanding. Krishna showed he's not limited. He showed the universal form to Arjuna. And then we think, oh, the universal form, that is supreme. And Krishna said, no. You think that's supreme because you think something that appears big to you is greater? This is a foolish measurement. But Krishna, the whole universal form, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, that is generated from Krishna. And Krishna is standing there in his two-handed form. And we think, oh, we shall measure Krishna. We shall tie up Krishna. Duryodhana thought, let us capture Krishna. Now Duryodhana has come. Now Krishna has come, thought Duryodhana. If we capture him, he is the Pandava pran, he is the life of the Pandavas. So if we capture him, then the Pandavas will lose all their spirit. So he came in, then Duryodhana ordered, now you capture him. And then they ran towards Krishna, and then they saw Krishna's here, and then Krishna here, and then Krishna there, and Krishna there. How are you going to capture? Krishna showed, he's everywhere. You cannot capture him. Not by ropes. Not by any gross method, nor by any mental method. One can only capture him by the ropes that Mother Yashoda used. Pranayarasana, the ropes of love, Krishna is captured. This Krishna is teaching in Bhagavad Gita. But even the scholars of Bhagavad Gita, they cannot find Krishna. They cannot capture Krishna. So-called scholars, they cannot capture Krishna because they do not want to. They want to relegate Krishna to a manifestation. They say, it is not unto Krishna who we should surrender, but to the unborn that speaks through Krishna. So even though apparently great scholars of Bhagavad Gita, they will never understand Krishna because of their demoniac attitude of not wanting to understand Krishna. Therefore, even they become great scholars of Bhagavad Gita and they talk about bhakti. and how we should surrender to Krishna. And it appears as if they're great devotees, but they say it is not actually to Krishna, the person who we should surrender, but to the unborn who speaks through Krishna. And in this way, they, although apparently pious and devoted, they reveal their ultimately demoniac attitude of wanting to avoid Krishna. They read the Bhagavad Gita and they are famous as scholars of Bhagavad Gita, but they're envious of Krishna. So the greatest scholars or the actual understander of Bhagavad Gita may be someone who's even not very literate, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met one Brahmana in Sri Rangam who was reading Bhagavad Gita but can't read it properly. But tears are coming from his eyes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw in these tears there is vision of Krishna. Why are you crying? Because my guru ordered me to read Bhagavad Gita, but I can't read properly. But when I think how Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, the master of all universes, mataparataram nanyat kinchidasti, nothing greater than nothing, no one greater than Krishna, no one equal to Krishna. When I think of how this Krishna, out of love for his devotee, has become the charioteer of Arjuna, when I think of how kind is Krishna, how sweet is Krishna, how much dedicated to his devotees is Krishna, then I cannot help but cry. This is the actual scholar of Bhagavad Gita. So it's not that we should not study Bhagavad Gita. Certainly we should not study. But we should receive Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna is receiving Bhagavad Gita. Not defying Krishna, not denying Krishna, but shishyas tehang shadimang tang prapannam. I'm surrendered to you. I'm accepting the position of subordination to you. And to such a person, Krishna reveals himself very happily. Oh, you're subordinate to me. Very nice. Then I'm subordinate to you. And you want to be greater than me? You want to show yourself very great, big scholar? Then you become a worm in stool. This is what happens, actually. You want to show yourself very great? Then you be the greatest worm in stool. Among all the worms in stool, you will be considered the best. I give you this benediction. So many people, they want to be politician, leader. I am great, vote for me. Put yourself on the TV. Show yourself very great. But not everyone can be the president of the country or even the mayor of the city. So to fulfill the desires of these persons who are so anxious to be great, Krishna allows them. They'll become a big dog in their next life. And among the dogs, they will be highly respected. I mean, even among the humans, they go to the dog show. Oh, very great dog. And he understands, the dog has enough intelligence to understand that I am the biggest dog here. And he feels great pride that I am the greatest dog. So Krishna is very kind. You get what you want. But we should be intelligent enough to understand that it is in our best interest, instead of promoting ourselves, I am very great, to understand that actually only Krishna is very great. And I should simply try to be his servant and actually try to see him, not by demanding Krishna stand in front of me and then I shall reject. No, I don't believe in you. And Krishna will say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disturb you. Okay, I'll leave you alone. Have a good day. But to accept that we are fully under the control of Krishna, but that we can also control Krishna by love. But that love means unconditional. As long as we're trying to promote, I am God, I am big, I am so wonderful, then we'll never, ever, ever come anywhere close to Krishna, even if we study Bhagavad Gita all day and night. Only by the attitude of humble submission to Krishna and to Krishna's servants does Krishna reveal himself. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, or comment, or protest? Anyone like to claim themselves as God? A lot of people in California think they're God, right? Fools.
In one line you can say spiritual laws are not bound by the physical laws, that's all.
Yes, you can say in one line and you can say in hundreds of books also. Spiritual law means for Krishna there's no law. He's an outlaw. He's not under
law.
Yours. You are an authority on Krishna?
No.
All right.
Things, but outlaw is
so you authority. Please become an authority on Krishna by studying Bhagavad Gita as it is. Do you have this book?
I studied 11 different verses, including.
That's why you don't understand anything about Krishna.
Why do you say that?
Because you don't study Bhagavad Gita as it is. You think you know, but you don't.
I studied Tilak's Gita.
Oh, then you definitely don't understand. Then you definitely don't understand, because he doesn't understand. He's a politician. He's promoted Ganapati Puja, not Krishna Puja. He doesn't understand and you don't understand. Hare Krishna. Do you have this Bhagavad Gita as it is?
Yes.
All right. So, if you want to understand Krishna, you please study, and all the other editions you give to us, and we'll use them very nicely. We'll put them in the shredder, make paper, and turn them into Bhagavad Gita as it is. That is the best use of all these other so-called editions of Bhagavad Gita that deny Krishna.
When you are chanting today, very nicely.
Hare Krishna.
When you are chanting too, very nicely.
All right. But you also please enjoy your reading.
I read half.
You please read all, again and again.
Because I openly agree, I got not so much use at that time.
You please study.
Only intellectually thinking is nothing. Then you can read this.
We have many scholars here tonight. Transcendental scholarship. Transcendental scholarship. Now we have more classes. There's this saying. There's one saying. Buddhist saying. Zen Buddhist saying. Those who know do not speak. And those who speak do not know. Now this saying is in itself defective. Because if the person who says this is actually correct, then he shouldn't be speaking it. It's a self-defeating statement, just like the statement, no one should ever accept a guru, don't take instruction from anyone. But that in itself is an instruction. So all these Mayavadis, they have so many useless slogans. Yes, well, I have some books also for all of those who have Bhagavad Gita as it is and are studying on Srila Prabhupada's order. I'm also writing books.